morning, everybody, and welcome to the session on the West End development and investment market. I'm very pleased we've got some leading stakeholders here with us today to discuss their future plans and offer us their insights into the challenges and opportunities that they're facing in the West End market. I'm Rosemary Jones, and I sit on the WPA board, and I work for the Church Commissioners, very involved in housing and property in London. And if I could just introduce our panel, Councillor Dan Astaire, who many of you will know. Also Henry Moss from Ashurst, Anna Bond from Development Director at Grosvenor, Marcus Geddes, who's got a new name and a new brand, which we'll come on to later, from Landsec. And Jace, many of you will know from the New West End Company. Welcome, everybody. I'm going to kick off with a question for Councillor Astaire. We see from the leader's speech yesterday, you've got a new job on your to-do list, which I'm sure many people will be wanting to ask you about shortly. But if I could kick off and ask you about the key policy priorities for Westminster, particularly with regard to the West End, and also the consultation that there's been recently on taller buildings.
Fine. I mean, obviously, with taller buildings, I think it's just appropriate to say for a moment that we are all thinking about the residents of Kensington and Chelsea this morning after the dreadful fire there, and I'm sure we and others will all be reviewing our own fire policies just to ensure that everything is as safe as it can possibly be. What I've been predominantly tasked with in Westminster is to review our city plan, and in particular to see how we can bridge the divide through planning policy that appears to have been created between the very, very wealthy and then those who are living in affordable and social housing. And you will have heard an awful lot, those of you who were here last night, from Nikki Akin about that. And we will shortly be putting out a policy paper on first steps, i.e. what we can do with our existing policy to try and bridge that gulf. And some of the things that we're thinking about there are what we do with commercial property and the commercial property requirement for, or lack of requirement at the moment circumstances, for affordable housing contribution. And we will be seeking to reverse our existing policy on that, which exempts commercial property and hotel use and office space from the requirement to give affordable housing, particularly in the central zone. So that will be one of our predominant immediate changes which impacts the West End. But more broadly on the West End, we've got a huge number of policy areas that affect the West End. So it's part of CAS, it's part of the West End Special Policy Area, you've got the Oxford Street area, you've got a whole host of different policy areas which all impact upon the West End. And one of the things that we will be doing is trying to narrow that down and make it far simpler to understand and far easier to navigate by effectively looking at how we define the West End through the West End Partnership and how that can be the catalyst to shape our policies for the West End. Obviously, there's a lot of work going on through the West End Partnership, and those of you who know Charlie Parker, our chief exec, will know the significant amount of work that he has done on the TIF bid. And up to the general election, I'm reliably informed that the TIF bid was being readied for government approval. I hope that doesn't change, because it will raise a significant amount of money, both through public and private contributions, to assist on Oxford Street schemes, Strand schemes, our jobs programme, as well as Baker Street and Tottenham Court Road. I'll touch very quickly on tall buildings. We consulted just now on Building for Growth, and that was a consultation, despite what some people say, in its truest form. We wanted to know where people thought tall buildings were appropriate, what people thought the appropriate use for tall buildings was, and how Westminster should deliver that. And I think it's important to note that we can deliver growth without necessarily going considerably higher. We can put one or two stories on top of Oxford Street and deliver the floor space equivalent of a shard. The Crown Estate have shown us what you can do when you have a collective portfolio to infill, remove plant, remove servicing, combine properties so that you can actually increase your floor space significantly without going up too high. So there are some interesting things that have come out of the consultation about what we can do to improve massing and improve density as well as where we can potentially go higher and what that means for Westminster. And we will come out with a policy when we've gone through the several hundred consultation responses that we've received. Rosemary, I think that's enough of an introduction. I'll let others speak.
Thank you. If I could turn to Henry next. I wanted to ask you about the number of overseas investors that you advise and what you're seeing in terms of their continued appetite. In particular, here we're perhaps feeling there's a lot of uncertainty, political and economic uncertainty, that doesn't seem to be turning the tap off. And I just wondered what your thoughts were on your feelings on what we'll be seeing in the shift in focus over the coming year.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because, I mean, was it a year ago, the referendum, we were all feeling slightly sort of nervous. And to be honest, the few months after the referendum were not great from an investment point of view. But I think over the medium term, Brexit's actually increased the appetite of some of the overseas investors for the West End, and that's because we have seen a bit of a price adjustment, and we've also obviously seen the pound devalued, which combined with them, I think, seeing the sort of long-term strength of the London market has actually brought them back in a bit. Because if you go back before the referendum, I don't know, 18 months ago, you'd gone from a situation of having maybe 20 serious bids for each, you know, top-end property that was coming in the year before that, with money coming from all over the shop, and you were down to having a handful of serious bidders, and really they were all coming from one of China, Hong Kong, or ultra net worths. And I think that's just because people just felt it was too hot. They were looking at other European markets. Obviously, pretty bleak time just after the referendum. We did see Brexit clauses actually used in anger, which we sort of confidently assumed that we'd be drafting them and they'd never get used. Fortunately, they did work. They didn't get litigated. And actually, some of the buyers came back sort of cheaper on the same price, on the same sites with the same sellers shortly after. But now we're seeing interest from places like Korea, from Indonesia, from Singapore, that we just haven't seen for 3 years, I think, in what we're seeing. And, of course, you've also got the Deka deal, which is quite interesting, in terms of them coming in. And now we have a hung parliament as well. Obviously, currency markets have taken a hit from that again. And predictably, I think you're starting to see things in property press about, is that going to be the same as the referendum? Are we going to have another few months at least of not a lot happening, of people turning away because of the uncertainty? Interestingly, I mean, obviously it's very early days, but the discussions that we've been having is that if anything, at least some investors from overseas are seeing the hung parliament as a positive situation. Firstly, because they perceive, they may be right, they may be wrong, but they perceive that it will lead to a softer Brexit. Secondly, because obviously, again, the currency devaluation in itself has given them, it's made it that bit keener for them. So, at the moment, it's feeling quite positive, actually, but who knows what politics will bring for us.
Thank you. I'm sure there's going to be questions about balancing this enduring appeal that the West End has against the uncertain climate at the moment, and I'm sure there'll be some questions about that later. If I could just turn to Anna now and ask you to talk about the 20-year vision that you've launched for the London estate recently, and if you could possibly highlight for us some of the priority areas for the West End, and in particular how this change of strategy and approach is playing out and the key changes you've got. Thank you.
So Grosvenor is a British family-owned property business, and we're active in 60 cities around the world. In the UK, we are focused on two main challenges, the first being overcoming the threats to the West End, and the second being the housing shortage, which in London is particularly acute. London is growing at its fastest rate since the Industrial Revolution, I understand, and as a result of that, our communities, our infrastructure, and our way of life is going to have pressure put upon it. And our Mayfair and Belgravia estates in the heart of the West End in central London aren't going to be immune to that. And actually, we don't think that it should be. But we are going to need to find a way to respond and adapt. So our London estate vision sets out that we want to be more, for the estates to be more open, more active, more integrated, to have better streets, greener spaces, more connected communities, and also more enterprising places that are for the many. And in creating this vision, we have made it easier for ourselves to make business decisions internally. It also means we're now having many more consistent conversations about change and collaboration. Now, we cannot achieve our vision on our own. We absolutely need to do it with partners. And it's allowed us to have better conversations about how we want our estate to evolve and how we collaborate. We have recently made two quite big announcements on our priority areas. The first is an estate-wide upgrade to connectivity, so that's broadband, Wi-Fi, and mobile connection, which we're doing in partnership with Openreach, some other providers, and also Westminster. And that's going to take us from being in the bottom 5% of the country in terms of connectivity up to the top 5%. And the second announcement and priority that we're doing is we are taking back management of Grosvenor Square from Royal Parks with DCMS. And later this year, we're going to do a public call and professional call for ideas about what do we want to do with this amazing green space that I think it's bigger than Trafalgar Square. What do we want this space to do for us? How do we want people to interact with it? And it's an opportunity for us to hear other people's ideas. And so I suppose in terms of doing things differently, we want to be sort of more outward facing as a business. And we're also prepared to test, I suppose, what would be considered to be our legacy, around the way that people perceive our behaviour to be. So we definitely want to be kind of more open-facing, outward-facing. And that's really important that we achieve that.
Thank you. And if I could turn to Marcus now, Lansek, your new name. That's the one great advantage of working for the church. We never change our name, so we don't have to worry about those things. You've got assets across the length and breadth of the country, and I wonder if you could talk to us about how important your West End assets are, your London portfolio, and also a little bit about your new tagline of experience, what that's all about, and what you think you're going to be up to over the next 12 months if the market is fully priced in. You feel you're not able to acquire new assets?
Sure. So just a point of clarification. I haven't changed my name to Marcus Lansek, at least not yet. But thanks for the plug on the rebrand. Anyway, Rosemary. The West End's always been very important to Lansek. I mean, ever since the company was founded in the 40s, we've always had a presence and a portfolio here. And to put that into context today, we're managing about just over 3.5 million square feet in the West End and employing about £4.5 billion of shareholder funds. So it's a really important market for us. We're across the West End, as Rosemary said, out in Paddington and Tottenham Court Road, Soho and Piccadilly, and largely in Victoria, as some of you may be aware, which makes up about 70% of our holdings in the West End. So really important to the London portfolio, and very important to the business as a whole, where we sit in two sectors, in national retail and London offices principally. Our focus over the next 12 months, if I address that point first, is really going to be around is the end user, the customer. I mean, they really sit at the heart of everything that we need to do. So understanding that customer, understanding what their needs are in a world that is constantly being challenged and disrupted, is where we're having to sort of spend a lot of our time at the moment, because we need to create the right product for them, create the right experience for them. And we've actually recently hired a workplace director to take insight out to our customers about how workplaces are changing, and also bring insight into our business about what our customers, current and future, are looking for. And that's really important, because, I mean, a lot's written about what the future of work looks like and what the future of employment looks like. And if you, you know, we could all get very, very nervous about 1 in 3 jobs being lost to automation over the next 20 years. What does that mean for workplace? Workplace is no longer four walls and an office fit out. It's a place which is open. It's a place where people congregate, collaborate, and work differently. And one of the challenges we have in designing and delivering new product, whether that's refurbishment or particularly a new development, is lead time in these things. I mean, what we might be designing today might not get occupied for 4, maybe 5 years. And if you wind the clock back 4 or 5 years, I mean, the world, the workplace in the West End was very, very different. I mean, I don't think WeWork barely existed, and they certainly didn't exist in London, and now they're gobbling up space across London with a new type of work. So we are having to think ahead to what our future customers are looking for out of their workplaces, so that we can create the right sort of experiences. And that is through great architecture, it's through amenity, it's through, importantly, power resilience and connectivity. And we are both design developing for the future in that space, but also managing our existing 3.5 million square feet to make sure that that's fit for purpose. And that may include retrofitting more showers, more bike facilities, increased Wi-Fi, as I said, reception refurbishes using third spaces and open spaces more efficiently and more openly, and keeping them secure and safe. You know, that is a number one priority, and the last few weeks have only highlighted that to us. So from a capital markets perspective, we're happy to sort of sit on the sidelines where this heavy sag of equity sits on the West End. We can invest in design developing our pipeline of assets for the future, but right now the investment market and the land market is very fully priced, so that doesn't really sit very well with our return aspirations. In terms of the brand and the refresh, if you picked up your Financial Times on the way in, you might have caught a glimpse of that. Really, this is just, it's not dramatic, it's not revolutionary. The business is colloquially known as Landsec quite frequently. Means we'll stop getting confused with a security company if we drop the securities bit, I think, and we just stick with Landsec. And the experience element, everything is experience. Well, again, nothing new there. We've always been about creating the best experiences for our customers. And really, we're just using this as a tool to promote the way that we want to operate and the way we want to sort of position our role as a customer-centric business. Effectively, we are a service industry. We are there to provide real estate services to in the supply chain of our customers and help them grow. So it's about experience, and let's use placemaking as an example. You can see placemaking, but you feel and you think about experience, and those are more powerful takeaways for customers and more value add.
Thank you. Thank you, Marcus. And last but never least, Jace, if a lot going on in the new West End company, and I wonder if you could just give us a few highlights of priorities over the next couple of years.
Thank you, Rosemary. First of all, hands up if you're a member of new West End company, either a property owner or a retailer on Bond, Oxford or Regent Street. A small number. Good to know the crowd. Excellent. Well, it's changing time for the West End. I think our priorities are really focused on three areas at the moment. First of the three C's is Crossrail. Then we've got the customer, and we have the communities in which we work. And I think to touch on Crossrail, we've been talking about this huge infrastructure project for a decade in the West End. And actually, next month will mark 500 days until Crossrail opens, and those trains will start coming in next Christmas to Bond Street and Tottenham Court Road. And yeah, we think by 2020, that will be 60 million more visits on top of the 200 we already have in the West End arriving here in the core West End. And we really need to plan for that. We've planned from a transport perspective in terms of getting these trains here. But actually, what we're really focused on now is how we move these customers around the West End. What sort of retail, what sort of office stock do they want? What sort of experience do they want to have when they arrive here? And certainly the direction of travel is to have less traffic in the area and more of a pedestrian friendly areas that we can accommodate this sheer number. And I think for the commercial opportunity around that, there is significant opportunity for our businesses. And what we're really trying to understand, which is our second C at the moment, is the customer. So where is this new Crossrail customer going to be coming from? What does that mean for the type of retail, type of restaurant, type of culture offer that we should have in the West End? And that's why these planning policy changes coming through, whether it's the city plan that Councillor Stair is leading on, or even from the Mayor's office, looking at the London plan, environment policy, transport policy, the next 20 years of planning policy, really future-proofing the West End to understand what our customer of tomorrow is wanting and ensuring the policies can support that. And I think the third area, which has become really important in the last few years, is our community in which we work in, and I think all businesses in the West End certainly understand this. And it's striking to me how high the air quality and pollution agenda has really come up in the last few years. And not least when you look at Oxford Street, and actually one of the worst polluting streets in London. But actually, customers and residents in the area and people that work in the area have choices now. And I think the air quality piece is hugely important, that we can improve the environment and work to create a better place for them to come and visit and shop in as well.
Thank you. We're going to have about 20 minutes for some further questions for the panel. So if you can start getting prepared to fire them left, right and centre. I've been pressed with a couple of questions by delegates, so I'll kick us off with one, but if you can be getting yourself ready, that would be great. And I'll start with you, if I may, Councillor Stair. You've been charged with reviewing how the council engages with the property industry, and there's a lot of advisors and owners, developers in the room. I wonder if you can share with us a couple of your top tips for what we should be doing in the new world. And
okay. I'm probably going to upset some people straight off by saying the one thing I won't engage with are public affairs consultants. I think it is much easier to go straight to the heart of it and speak to the people who actually own, manage and run the properties themselves rather than have that sort of glaze on top, which doesn't help me and really doesn't help the landowners or the development industry either. So that's really important for me. We've also set out a new protocol, which is published online, which sets out when we will have political meetings with the development industry on particular schemes. And I think it's quite important to follow that, because there's been, I think Nikki called it a cozy cabal yesterday night in her speech, that there has been a bit of that creeping into the way that the City Council and the industry have worked together. And we want to get a more even playing field for those people who are committed to the development and the growth and the regeneration of the city. One of the most important ways for us to engage with the property industry is the WPA. We see that the Westminster Property Association is a key focus group for us, a key intermediary for us, and probably the way that we should push out our policy announcements, talk to the industry, and gain an understanding of what they want, because it's not all one-sided. It really is. It's a two-way conversation. We know what we want for this city. You know what you can deliver for this city, and we need to merge the two, and we see the offices of the WPA as a great way of doing that.
Thank you. Do we have a question from the floor? Thank you. I think there's a mic that will just be coming over your way.
Amy Gillam from Turley. We work on quite a number of co-working schemes with regards to planning applications. So a question aimed primarily at Marcus, but obviously for others on the panel as well, with regards to the potential to link co-working and the likes of WeWork, etc., with the need for more homes. So a number of the schemes more recently that we've been working on have actually seeing both uses, co-living and co-working, in the same scheme. Do you think that's something that the West End could see as well, or are the pressures slightly different? Those schemes I'm talking about tend to be out of London.
I think that they are quite different. I mean, there's lots of people who live in the West End, and if they don't live here, they're able to get here because we have, on the whole, a pretty good transport system. It is under challenge, but it's, you know, it is at least being invested in. So I don't think it's anything new for the West End to have workers come and go every day. I'm sure a lot of us here do it ourselves. So I don't think there's a specific need to have a live-work, personally, don't have a live-work solution. But I do think that there is a, as I said earlier, there's a different way of working now, disintermediation of the workforce. The role of the corporate becoming sort of slightly less relevant as end user and supplier can connect much more directly, and some of that sort of co-working space is enabling some of that. So I think that's a very real trend and probably one here to stay. But in terms of housing, I think it's obviously a huge priority for Westminster to address the types of housing that's in the borough, and not just focus on social, but look at intermediate as well, which is really important, and we thoroughly support, of course. But the need to bring the two together in the same scheme, I'm not convinced by the need for it. Does anyone else got anything to?
I would agree. We also think the intermediate housing requirement is something that does need to be addressed in Westminster. But delivering schemes that kind of allow Westminster to grow in density might be the way for us to deliver that. But I agree that kind of having them both on the same site might not necessarily get us the best outcome.
Thank you. And Councillor Sturd.
Yeah, certainly intermediate's really important. When I held the housing portfolio recently, we did try to, and we're going to be following this through in policy terms, flip the affordable housing mix from 40 intermediate, 60 social, flip it the other way around so that we are building and delivering more intermediate housing. In terms of the live-work, I think it's actually quite an interesting concept because I think we need to have quite a varied and different type of offer. You've obviously got the collective, which isn't in Westminster, which has tried to deliver that. There are lessons learned from that. You don't want something that turns into a short-term let centre, which doesn't help anyone at all. But I think there are innovative schemes out there which can help. You've got the Night Tube, which does an awful lot to help key workers get in and out of the city. But I think there are certain circumstances where there are certain workers that need easy access to central London to ensure that the city actually keeps rolling on a daily basis. And I think some of the live-work schemes that are out there are interesting concepts. We just need to see the proof of delivery.
I think, for the West End perspective, the office sector is so important to us and so vital. I mean, we have 100,000 staff that live and work in our district across Bond, Oxford and Regent Street. I think it's really important that we continue to nurture that sector because they are a very important customer to us. Crossrail 1, again, you'll be able to commute from Reading into Tottenham Court Road in 40 minutes and come and work in the West End. Rathbun Place, Facebook, large headquarters opening there in the coming months. So it's really important that the market provides a product that allows the office sector some flexibility. But I think policy has to be looked at in that context. We need to bring in complementary uses to retail, whether it's the restaurant, the culture use, so we can keep attracting our customers here and keep them here longer, and the office sector is a really important part of that. And I'm pleased, actually, Councillor Stair has alluded that he's looking at complementary uses, and actually it's not so binary as retail and restaurant, and actually we can evolve that a little bit as well.
Thank you. And do we have another question from the floor?
Thank you. Dick and Robinson from Soho Housing. Soho Housing for 40 years has been providing affordable housing in the West End of London and is currently providing intermediate housing. It has an important scheme in Greek Street. So we know how to do it. We believe that it's fundamentally important that the West End has a strong residential community. It's great for people to commute in from Reading, but if everybody commutes in from Reading, all we have is a kind of out-of-town retail centre that happens to be in the middle of London. And that's what anybody wants. So it's critically important that we do provide more housing for intermediate and affordable residents. And one of the things that I particularly wanted to raise with Councillor Astaire is that in the past, substantial residential developments in the West End have not provided any affordable housing. They've provided commuted sums instead, which have then been invested elsewhere on the basis that you can provide more housing in cheaper areas, which is a perfectly reasonable thing to promote, but the effect of that is to increase the inequality in the West End. And so I would ask that if you're reviewing your policies, you try and ensure that there's much greater emphasis on new developments providing affordable housing in situ, and where there are commuted payments that have been extracted historically, that they are, if not invested already, now invested in the West End.
Okay, well, in respect of the sums that we've received already, there is a plan on how to spend those. A lot of that is within the estate regeneration that's happening across the city at the moment, and most of those funds are earmarked or committed or have already been spent. In terms of your first point about what we're going to do going forward, I'd urge you to go on the website and read Nicky Akin's speech from last night, because I think we were pretty clear in that, and we're coming out in our new policy with even clearer direction on affordable housing. And what we're effectively saying is our primary position, and this is a shift for Westminster, our primary position is we want affordable housing on site, and we want